Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to Square Back to the Hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Olala Njinga is here. Olala is a seven-year member of our Brain Trust. She is, where to start, folks, with all her credentials here. She's a commission member with the North Carolina Works. The governor appointed her to that seat. She's the founder of Yellowwood Group, which I think she still has a little bit of a hand in. Athena Power Link. I'm not sure I know what that means, but I know it's important because Olala's involved in it. And she is a force, ladies and gentlemen. More than a human, she's a force. So don't unbuckle your seatbelts. Olala, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Jim. Always a pleasure to hang out with you and your audience.
Athena Power Link. Remind us.
Oh, Athena Powerlink. So I'm no longer on the governing board, but I served for a few years and have a great relationship with them. And it's an international organization that empowers women in business to propel their business by providing them with a one-year program of experts to help them grow top-line and bottom-line revenue by double digits or more in their business. So it's an amazing organization.
Good for you. Good for you. And I appreciate you doing that. You've got women business owners on your mind. Not that you don't always, but sometimes not specifically, but for a number of reasons, this is really heavy on your mind right now, isn't it?
It is, and it's also coming on the heels of some news I would like to share with you. I have recently taken the position of president-elect for the Greater Raleigh chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners.
NABO. I've been talking to NABO leaders for over 20 years.
Yes, and so hopefully I'll be able to, in a different capacity, sit at the round table with you and talk about women in business some more.
I love doing this. I've been doing it many times. In fact, I was with a 1998, I guess it was maybe 99, NABO president last week, who I met on the show, and she's still a friend of mine. In fact, I was with her, and last week, and her husband. So this is an organization I've been telling people about for a long time. So congratulations on that. But
there's also your
own family. You've got your daughter's going to become a leader in the marketplace. She's made some great accomplishments. You've got a lot of history there and a lot of extra reasons to be promoting women in the marketplace. There's an anniversary coming up, right? Or has it already happened?
That's right. Yes. So the anniversary of H.R. 5050, which was the piece of legislation that Ronald Reagan signed, which basically it did actually two powerful things that I'd like to illuminate. The first is it acknowledged that there were barriers for women to pursue business pursuits in the United States. And the second is it removed those barriers, one of them, the largest being that a woman in business had to have a male co-signer for any financing, even if that male family member was her own son.
This was very uncomfortable, very quickly
like we were Saudi Arabia for a lot of people.
You know, I remember. I remember
I'm not
Olala.
Gonna go there.
I remember Olala back in the late 90s and early part of the last decade. I interviewed a number of women entrepreneurs. I'm talking about like Lillian Vernon and other ladies who were less famous than her. I interviewed them and they talked about how they tried to capitalize their business in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s. I talked to a number of women business owners who like that, and they told me they went to the bank to get a loan, and the bank said, well, honey, bring your husband in, and we'll talk about it.
Right.
That was the exact words, and they had to do that.
And they had to do that.
I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something else. There were many, many years after that law passed. It took many years for that understanding to ripple through the banking industry. I mean, even though it was the law, banks didn't have to loan money if they didn't want to. And so I know a lot of women who were up against it. Even with the law on their side, they weren't able to get a lot of loans. It took almost a generation to get to the point where when a woman walked in, she was automatically standing on her own behalf.
And I appreciate you illuminating that. And it's always something that weighs heavy on my heart. But as I shared with you when we were off air, it's probably much more personal for me right now, especially taking a leadership position with NABO and having a great relationship with our national office. But my daughter is expecting. And what I realized
is
that thank you. We're going with Oma, not Grandma,
okay?
But we recognize that we will have a better...
Olala, you'll be called whatever your granddaughter wants you to call her.
Okay, well, thank you.
thank you for pointing that out. That's what will happen. You can make all these name plans you want, but whatever your grandchild wants to call you, that's what you'll call it. And you'll love it,
I will love it. You're absolutely right. But what was very personal is that we will have four living generations in our family. And, you know, I've raised a daughter and a son. And so the concept of equality between the sexes, the concept of women holding their own, that's all my children know.
Yeah.
Because in our house, mom owned the company, mom employed people, mom made money. And my husband is in the traditional workforce. He's in the corporate workforce. So in my kids' eyes, they don't understand what's all this HR 50, like how did this even happen?
Right.
And so I've had to really educate them about this is what, you know, your reality growing up with parents who have, you know, what is perceived as non-traditional roles is not the norm. And they asked me, well, why not? And that began this whole other conversation around, you know, what does it mean to be a woman business owner in the 21st century when we still have 19th century values and beliefs that are still kind of lingering in the background?
Well, when we come back after the break, I want to get you to break down some of those and tell us what you think still needs to be worked on. And I might be guilty of pushing back on you a little bit because you know how much I love women business owners and how much I've done to help them. However, I do know that there's some things that women do to themselves that they could improve on. And I'll be pointing a couple of those out, too. When we come back after the break, I always get myself into trouble when we have these kinds of conversations. Olala, I need a website quickly, please.
Sure. Go to olala.com, OLALAH.com.
All right, so check it out. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassie.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.